Yeah, I thought we'd do something little. I just wanted to kind of have something on record explaining that we had a delay, and that's why some of the episodes seem weirdly out of touch.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Ready? Start.
Yeah.
Kevin, you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Welcome back, listeners. It's Indie Comic Book Noise. Here we are, back, live. Well, live to tape. Well, live to digital file. Whatever it is. We're here. It's the three regular hosts. And just wanted to jump in and say we had some technical gremlins. Kevin found this program called Indie Comic Book GPT. And he said, guys, if we upload this, it'll do all the work for us. And then it took over the podcast for a while. We had to fight it off. But thank you for sitting through some somewhat delayed episodes. But we think we've purged the last of the rogue code. Kevin?
I mean, that sounds better than what actually happened.
Well, I mean, I was going to talk about the source wall and everything, but that's DC Comics. And you always get angry.
I think you went to a con and all that in the intervening time.
Well, I've got another one coming up, so stay tuned for all the excitement. But yeah, anyways, back to our... I just wanted to say thanks. Sorry everything seemed weirdly delayed. And some of the references were no longer topical, but, you know, that's an indie styling, too. So back to our regular nonsense intro. Myself, Andrew the L.A. Rabbit from the great state of California. The only one that's forest fire free, relatively, compared to our two regular hosts up in the Great White North from the icebox of UX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Hello. Hopefully not choking on any forest fires right now.
And from the smog-encrusted otter's den in the nation's capital, the Ottawa Otter himself, Phil. Say hi,
hashtag, Phil. Hashtag save our burning beavers.
So, Indie Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network, a great collection of podcasts. You can check stuff out. Just look it up. There's Marvel Noise, which talks about all things from the House of Mouse. You can hear Kevin and myself on that show frequently. You will also note you can get old episodes and show notes at IndieComicNoise.com.
At $2 a piece?
No, they're free. We have no ad sponsorship. We're completely listener-free and listener-dependent.
Listener-free, yeah, that's right.
Oh, wait, ad-free, I mean. Yeah, that's yeah. It. Something like that. We don't take no money. We don't take bribes. I mean, sometimes we get emails for like, hey, do you want to look at my comic or whatever, but... I figure a lot of people get those sorts of things. Like, we don't...
Yeah.
I don't think it influences us too much, right? I mean, we usually say something about it. And if we like it, we like it. And if we don't, we hate all over it. But, yeah, it's just, you know, a free-flowing discussion about whatever we consider to be indie. Well, as you heard from the beginning of the show, there is a warning. But that's mainly for perhaps strong language or adult themes. I always say we never say anything controversial. Kevin then sometimes says, you got anything, Kevin?
I'm going to bring up some controversial stuff this episode, that's for sure. I'm kind of glad that Super Steve isn't here now, because he'd be like, whoa, slow your roll there.
Yeah, when Super Steve's on, I don't put up with any of this. We're just going to blab on about nonsense and news and everything. He runs a tight ship, but... Now, when we're free, left to wander our own aimless devices. So, yeah, that's it. Indie Comic Book Noise. Did I forget anything? It's been so long since I've done one of these things. Social media. You can find the show at Twitter.
Aren't some you of on the Blue hosts Sky?
Are on Twitter. I never got an invite for Blue Sky. One of the hosts is on Mastodon. So come toot at me. Give me them hot toots.
Fool. Doom toots as he pleases.
Yeah, I think now I've covered all our bases. All right, Kevin, you have some hot news, some controversy to stir us up, to get the listeners all in a rage and yelling at their MP3 listening devices.
Or phones?
I thought you were going to say we have that cadre of hardcore people that don't listen to the episode until it's been transferred to vinyl. So they can listen to a hot album. The bouncing of the needle and the static.
Yeah, well, those vinyl sales and pressing and everything were on the up and up. I feel like we missed all this big news. But, you know, that was an exciting time.
Eh, missed is a relative term.
Yes. I can't wait till I'm buying my issue one of something digitally. And then I miss issue two. And then I'm like, oh, no, now I'm not going to have the full story. So then I'll have to pay someone else $50 for their digital copy. That's going to be an exciting time.
For sure, for sure. All right, so Kevin, what's your news point?
Well, I did get some free comic book day comics.
That's hardly news. That's now history at this point, Kevin.
That's not news.
Oh, I was supposed to bring news? New news?
All right, well, what's your controversy? How about that?
That's the controversy.
Free comic books, I agree. They are quite... We're allergic to them, aren't we, Phil?
Which one do you want? Do you want to hear I Am Stan or Conan first?
Let's go with Stan. I'm going to end up buying that book at some point, I'm sure.
I mean, it's going to go in your shelf of Stan Lee books.
Or my shelf of Tom's Jolie books.
Yes. Am I crazy to think that it's like yelling? I know like all titles and everything are usually in capitals. But for some reason, the I Am Stan, it seems like it's yelling. Like maybe it's because of the lines are moving away from the thing that makes it look... I don't know. That's just how I type it and hear it and say it. I don't know if this would be... The controversy might be... I don't know if this is actually a controversial graphic biography of the legendary Stan Lee. Like, there might be people out there that might sell this as a controversial take. And with the pages in here, I don't know exactly if I would say that. Like, I mean, maybe if you're a booster for one side or the other... Then you might find something offensive. Like if you're like, oh, Kirby created everything. Like then maybe.
It's the internet, Kevin. Someone's going to find something controversial.
I mean, you can find anything to justify your opinion on the internet.
But you didn't. Well, maybe they're not putting the hot stuff in the free preview, though. Kevin.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, if you put this in the preview, whatever's here, I mean, you must have selected something. Like, whatever is here, this should be representative. And unless you don't want it, you left out the good stuff. Like, I don't know. I have to assume this is a good sampling of the book. And it's all the widescreen panels, the sideways deal, and kind of boring. Because it's just, like, there's a lot of heads talking. A lot of guys standing around. Well, and I know superheroes, like, you kind of have, like, you're kind of obligated. Oh, we're going to do all this different stuff. It's going to be really dynamic and everything. But then you get to this, like, the slice of life. And I always feel like when it's that straightforward, like, easy to read stuff, oh, because it's a mundane life. But I'm like, you can jazz that up. And I'm not saying he doesn't do things. Like, there's some bits in here. That I like. Like he can do the like the silhouette, or there's these certain sequences where like they'll be like, oh, we're coming up with Spider-Man, and he'll just have the word there. Or there's these great like brainstorming sessions where Stan and Jack will just be in black, and then you, of course, Kirby Cigar will be there, and it'll be massive smoke, and I love drawing that massive smoke, so I appreciate that. And they'll just, like, list off words, like, they could be coming from either person, and it'll just be, like, Vietnam, Fatal Flaw, Shrapnel, Knight in Tarnished Armor, Weapons Manufacturer, Cold War. Like, you're just getting bits of the conversation, and I'm like, I love that bit. But otherwise, most of it is just, like, the same panel over and over, and it's just heads talking. And it's like the dialogue is just carrying the whole thing. It is just...
Yeah, I feel like the Kirby one, I enjoyed, but it didn't break any new ground or anything. I feel like it's firmly within the realm of, you know, a biographical comic book. Well, I guess I don't know what you were expecting. Like, Stan didn't, like, fight ninjas in his spare time.
But I feel like there's other stuff you can do. But I guess if you want it for a general audience and you want it to easy to follow and read, but I don't know, it just comes across rather dull.
No, you wanted Chichester and McDaniel to do the Stanley one, didn't you, Kevin?
I mean,
inside joke there.
That I would have been very stimulated if that was... I would have been trying to figure out what was happening. And I'm not going to tell you I would be able to figure out what was always happening. I'm like, so they're zooming on that guy's abdomen?
All right, so do you think you're going to get the book when it comes out, or you don't know?
I never bought the Kirby book.
Oh, okay.
And I never... bought any of, like, the Stan Lee stuff. And I also think it's a little weird when you're seeing conversations of people that you don't know if the conversations actually happened. Like, there's stuff in here. Like, I love that whole bit on Marvel Noise that's when Steve puts in, and then they do that whole audio thing, and then he says, oh, next time I'll draw her bald-headed and all that. Like, that's in here word for word. So I'm like, I know that's an actual bit, and I can hear the voices. But it's still weird to see these conversations by everyone.
I get it.
And then sometimes it's like, this isn't a big preview, and within a few pages, like, Stan Lee keeps on repeating himself, saying, oh, you called him this? You should have called him that, because it's easier if it's, you know, it's like Peter Parker. You need to have the same letters, and like over and over again. And I'm like, I hope that's the only times that it's in the entire book. But it's not the only time like that repetition is in here. And I almost wonder if some of that stuff is like on a meta level, like, oh, Stan Lee's a writer, so he's not that as creative and crazy as Kirby. So this book is going to be more boring and look boring because that's how Stan Lee is. Like, I'm almost like jumping to another level.
I don't think so. I think if you get a chance to flip the Kirby one, it's more meant to be, well, it has its creative flourishes. Its basic job is to convey their life.
Like an anime character or something really strange.
At times he had some, was the characterization, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of talking. Like, yes, there's a segment, you know, he goes to war and all that, but it's not like that's the vast bulk of his life.
I thought that you promised me ninjas, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, what about Conan then?
All right.
So this is Conan by what company now?
By Titan Comics.
Okay.
And I guess Heroic, is it Heroic Publishing? Is that what you called them? You know, the Conan rights person. Because I think it says Conan. I think it says Heroic Signature, which isn't the name of their Heroic. Just call it Heroic, I guess. But yeah, this is... I know on Marvel Noise, Super Steve has talked about Conan and how he thinks it went off the rails at a certain point. So this is Jim Zub and Delator. I think I remember him from Valiant. I don't know. The work seems very familiar anyways. But it's your typical average Conan story, I would say. This is supposed to be, I think, his first fight. And then he leaves, like, his home to go, like, on further adventures. So, I mean, not too exciting. I mean, not anything that I haven't seen before. I mean, yeah, the art's probably, like, probably the best part. And then they have a map. And then I had to break out the Dark Horse maps because I'm like, this map looks different. And sure enough, it looks like they've altered part of that typical Conan map. And then I started wondering how many different versions of that famous map there are. And it's this one's like been photoshopped to, like, instead of looking like a painting or a drawing or anything like that, this one looks like they've added like 3D mountains and everything to it.
So did you like this? Are you gonna jump on this one when it comes out, or if it's already come out?
I think it's still coming out, and then it seems to be like, I'm not sure if the flashback is supposed, or flash forward, it's supposed to be of stories they're gonna do again. So I'm like, I think I'll just wait.
Well, it sounds kind of lame for an issue to try and grab people in.
That's what I mean. I know I've seen people say, oh, it was so good and everything, but for me, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I feel there's something else they could have done, or something else I would rather see. I mean, it's not terrible or anything.
Does his Conan look like the Conan we know, or did they like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's typical Conan. I mean, that part's fine. I think...
All right.
Some different things. I thought they were going to introduce a character or something. What was it, in issue 2 or something? But I think I'm just going to see how it turns out on that front. And then I have a bunch of others that I haven't read yet. But I noticed the paper quality on the Sacrificers, the Image one. Would you figure that the Image one would have the worst paper quality?
No.
It seems extremely thin. Like, I know some people complain about the Marvel ones, like the regular comics, like the Free Comic Book Day Image one seems extremely thin. Like, it might disintegrate in your hands or something.
I'm one of the ones that complain about the Marvel one. I feel like it's really... I mean, I guess maybe I'm just too sweaty or whatever, but I feel like if when I look at them, the front starts to curl or whatever.
So. It gets wavy.
Yeah, it's all, but what are you going to, you know, that's where we're at now. But let's not talk about Marvel anymore. What have you, I'm going to turn it over to Phil. What have you got for us, Phil?
Phil?
Well, I got a few, I'll just run through a few things I've been reading lately. Sometimes I'll, like, maybe once, twice a year, I'll go to the dollar store and I'll buy, like, a trade paperback for $2. Like, they'll get some once in a while, and usually it's Marvel or DC. But I got a really good ones this time I went, and I got Kaiju Max book.
Oh, yeah. I've read
book 4, 5, and 6.
I've read at least one or two of those issues. Yeah.
And I read the first three, but the other one seasons were like season 4 just started, so I just kind of forgot about it. But reading these books again, it's one of my favorite series, I'd say. It's I just love it, and getting them for $2 a piece, that's quite a deal. Like, I was very surprised to get those there. So yeah, so I reread those. I read I got Buffy the Last Vampire Slayer by Boom Comics. I don't really like their take on Buffy, but this one kind of mixes the TV show stuff into it a bit. But I was expecting like a post-apocalyptic tale, but it didn't really come off as that much. But it's basically her all old in the future, vampires and humans are all mixed up now, and like she's not allowed to kill vampires anymore, and she ends up finding like a new slayer, like a little girl, so it's her kind of protecting her, and it's Willow and Tara's daughter. It was okay, but it just, I don't know, could have been a lot, expected a bit more. And I tried out, have you guys ever heard of IndiePlanet.com?
I've heard of them, but...
Yeah, it's just like indie comics you could buy. I was going to get some print stuff printed off there, but it was too expensive, so I just bought some digitals. A lot of shitty stuff on there, but I did read one which was really it's called Rags. It's a zombie one, but it's about a girl who can't find any pants. I think Antarctica took it over, so now they're printing it. But I got I bought the digital of the original, and it was actually really good. The art was amazing. It sounds ridiculous, but it's actually pretty good. And I think there's a seventh issue out now too. And then I also saw a Kickstarter for Afterlight Comics. I was gonna do it, but once again, too expensive. Like it's because when it gets switched to converted to Canadian, you know, like that's what kills it a lot of the time. It's just like you Americans have it easy.
Well, the shipping is not cheap anyway.
Oh, so it's even worse though, because you take it in American and then double it, you know, kind of thing. But so I went to their website and I just ordered two of their random comics, the one I wanted the most, and just another one. And I was so impressed. The art is great. The stories are great. I want every comic they own now, but I got one called Slasher Royale, which basically, it starts off with a little boy who goes home. He ends up, seeing his dad, all hooked up to the ceiling, because there's a serial killer there. A slasher. And...
What?
And so then he ends up finding his mom on Tizer. They go to jump out the window, and as the mom's jumping out, a noose goes over out the window and grabs her and kills her. So it's basically him. Like, a lot of the slashers are in this one prison that they're kept in. And so he ends up becoming a prison guard just so he can go to this prison and get some revenge on the slasher that kills his parents. But at the end of the issue, all the slashers get out. So I can't wait to... It's going to be a four-issue series. The second issue is not till October, though, but I'm hoping I don't forget about it. But I want to go to their website and get a lot more of their comics. I was really impressed with how well these are done. It's all horror-type comics, so I don't know if anything you guys would be into, but yeah, the art, everything is really impressive. So I highly recommend those. Maybe I will try their Kickstarter next time. I don't know. But they had one that just ended... Worms Crawlin', it's called. I don't know. Do comics, like for board games, when you kickstart something, you can late pledge later? Like they have a pledge manager. Do comics do that?
Some of them do, but I think it's not as common.
Oh, okay. So you might not be able to late pledge in them then. Okay.
I mean, I think it really depends on if they're trying to set up their to be like a ongoing type of thing. Yeah. You know, like some places they just do. They keep going over and over again. And, you know, like Jimmy Palmiotti is a great example of a guy. You know, they make their comics and they just distribute it through Kickstarter.
Yeah. Steve Mannion for Fearless Dawn, I think, does that a lot, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people
I wanted to do his, but too expensive also.
Well, Steve and I also talked about Thane Benson, that guy, and he does his... Every, I don't know, maybe three a year or whatever, he just cranks them out. And,
yeah.
You know, they're pretty cheap, especially some of the smaller ones. I don't know about the foreign shipping or whatever, but he keeps them, some of them on like little newsprint type comics that make it easier.
I am going to do that Kickstarter you told me about, though, for the Oz and Wonderland, Neverland one, you know?
Yeah. The one. Yeah, that Travis Orange Cone Productions, that's his one. Yeah. There's another one that just
so I want to get out three of those, because I did found the first two at separate sites for like 30 American each, but I feel like it'll be better just me doing the Kickstarter and get all three.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, like I said, we'll see when the Kickstarter jumps off, but yeah, it'll be fun. Well, I have my usual silliness, gentlemen, if you want to hear. Do you want to hear a weird, funny story or a regular review?
A story.
Yes, story time with Andrew.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you guys know I'm still on the Opus train. They're that licensed company.
I can't believe it, but yeah, they're still around.
I have some Opus thing to mention later, too.
It's down to mostly Frazetta, but I was there and I saw this new one that's not a Frazetta. I don't see any of the... banned comics anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing them or whatever, but it was San Julian's Queens of the Lost World, number one. I'm still buying the Frazetta ones, but I'm like, oh, I wasn't familiar with San Julian.
But I'm looking, don't know that name. Yeah.
They have a couple different covers, and I'm like, okay, there's like three or four, and I'm looking at the one. I'm between the Ariel Olivetti is A and San Julian's B. And I'm like, boy, this B cover, I really like. I don't know who this cat is, but I really like it. I have to get this one. So I get this one. And then I'm like, who? So I get home, and I'm like, who is this guy? So I look him up, and I'm like, oh, he's a cover artist. And I had just bought, as a gift for a buddy for his birthday coming up, an old Vampirella from 1971. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And he was a cover artist for them.
Oh,
in fact, cool. The cover, it's they're both like brunettes with long black hair.
Yeah.
And like gold bikini. Like they look really similar. And I'm like, no wonder. Because at the time, I didn't put that connection. You know, you're just looking, you're trying to decide which, you know, when they're the same price. I don't know if you guys like to, you know, look at the different covers and spend a minute or two deciding which one to buy.
I do, yeah.
But it's one of the things I like. And then I was like, boy, I don't know what it is about this cover. And then I get home, I look him up. I'm like, wait a second. I have that issue. I was just looking at that issue of Vampirella. So he was a magazine and cover artist guy, you know, for paperbacks and stuff. So he did this one. And this is based kind of like exactly like Frazetta. And inside it's Leia Moore, John Repian. And the art is Sylvia Califano. And the art's good. Like with the Frazetta look. Someone's putting out a full comic book versus one painted image. So obviously the painted image guy, you know, they probably spent a month on this one painting or whatever, you know, however long. Yeah. So it's not, I think the art's really good. The storytelling's clear. It's evocative of the cover image, but different. Like, I don't have any complaint, but obviously if you look at the cover and you expected like a fully painted type of book that looks like the cover, you know, it's like the Frazetta books. That's not happening. Like, that book would take a lot longer than however long they're taking to crank these out. Like, those are, they're not kind of apples to oranges comparison. But I like it. So it's this Huntress character. I guess that's the one on the cover. Like I said, not knowing anything about this guy or his paintings or anything except they were covers. And she's hired by the local Queen of the Dragons to retrieve this item. And she's just like a kick-ass hunter killer type, and that's the start of it. But I'm like, yeah, like I said, these are Opus books, are silly fun. This one was $5. Like, they're different prices, so I don't know if people want to do it now. The website is incendium.online, so I don't really know how. I notice is they have this Opus company seal, and that's what I look for. But I feel like it's like Behemoth and all that stuff all over again. Like, they merge and change, and I don't know if it's a tax dodge or what's going on. But anyway, so yeah, I'm buying those Frazetta ones, buying that one, happy with the Opus thing, and really hoping they keep going, you know.
Yeah, well, the fact that you're looking for it every month, like a lot of other people must be doing it too. Like, they must have an audience of some sort.
Yeah, I know it's a hard gig, and they have to be paying these different states some kind of license
fee.
What
am I talking about? You collected Spawn for months. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I didn't last very long. The Spawn train didn't
you
last.
You lasted long. You lasted
not as long as this train has lasted.
You lasted longer than me.
You know, it's funny. With Image, I guess, will get kicked out of the previews. But in the middle front there, Opus is there now.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And how many issues do they have solicited?
Maybe 3 or 4. I mean, more than Valiant. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Valiant, though, I thought it was funny. Their Free Comic Book Day issue is based on the Shadow Man video game from Blowfish that's coming out in 2024. So I'm like, next year, they can do another Shadow Man comic based on that same video game.
If their video game comes out.
That's what I was thinking. It seems like...
Yeah, because you never know.
It seems rather early, but it's funny because it's an original Shadow Man story, but by Bob Hall. Shadow Man guy.
And other stuff, too.
I mean, obviously.
West Coast Avengers.
Oh, he did that? Yeah.
So, yeah, this Opus also put out a Free Comic Book Day comic. So once I saw that, I'm like, oh, Andrew's going to want me to get this.
I thought you were going to say, oh, it's over for them. Once they get free comic status.
And it's funny, they have an ad for that Queens of the Lost World ongoing series in the back.
And which free one do they give you on Free Comic Book Day?
It's like a bunch of stories. Like they have Dawn Attack. Which one is this? Mothman? Is that Death Dealer? Yeah, Death Dealer. So there's a few different ones to try out in their Free Comic Book Day. But I thought it was weird that Umbrella Academy is still, like, Dark Horse. It's like, hey, it's Umbrella Academy. And only for us is, like, Punch-Up. I'm like, I have no idea.
Andrew, have you seen any Opus trades yet, or is it just issues still?
No, but my guy doesn't carry a ton of trades.
Oh, no?
I mean, carries some, but it's really mostly just floppies. It's a smaller... I mean, it's a good selection, but it's not like a gigantic store, so...
Yeah.
You know what else I had to buy? Since what? I'm the premier whatnot guy, or massive, I guess if you like. Both of those logos are on it. I had to get the... I haven't read it yet, but I had to get the Astrobots.
I got both. I got one and two.
What?
That was going to be my next one, was the surprise of like, Simon Furman doing a comic about robots.
I know, right? I'm like, yeah, it kind of looks like Transformers.
Oh, it reads. I have been enjoying it. That was my other surprise. I bought one of your comics, Kevin.
Well, this is the one that actually looked kind of interesting. The art looks good for, because otherwise it's like Wesley Snipes comics or whatever, and I'm just like, I'm just not into that.
Yeah, it was really the Furman and the robots thing that I'm like, oh, come on, that's funny. I think of him as the Transformers guy, and so this is, and they have a toy line. If you open the back, they run the ad for the toy in the back of it. So
that is so weird.
Yeah, so and it's a fun. I'll cut into this now, and then I'll yield the mic. So it's Hector Tronick. Sorry, apologies, Hector, is the artist on it. Furman, in the first one, he talks a little bit about world building, but basically, we send a bunch of intelligent robots to prepare a planet for colonization, and that's about all the backstory you get. And so then it cuts us into a complicated political situation where there's a robot Atlas that has built this big city that's supposed to be designed for the first shipment of humans. And that Ark with 50,000 humans is showing up. But there's a little bit of robot political unrest. There's some strange questions about the history. Like, you really, they drop you into this political situation that's kind of fun, I thought, having that all be right in the front of this and have it be a very complicated situation right from the jump. So I like that. So you have all these different characters that you're dealing with, and Atlas, the one that runs it, and all the different I like Furman's world building. I like that it's complicated. I'm two issues in and I'm still kind of mapping out the players, so to speak.
You know what I found is funny? They have a full page for all the variant covers in the back, and they even get a full page to the blank exclusive sketch cover.
I did see that was one of the, like, I flipped through and grabbed, but I was surprised. Who doesn't like Simon Furman and I just love that it's based on a toy line too. The ad for the toy. I haven't seen the toys or anything, but I don't know if they're online or Kickstarter or what. You know, there's toys, all kinds of,
maybe they're dollar store toys
ways nowadays, which I'm all about, by the way. I'm very pro toy. But yeah, that was my other surprise book, Kevin. You caught me.
Wow, did I just totally destroyed your surprise?
Yes. All right, Kevin. So what were you going to... What else do you have?
I have something called Xenon. It's a little bit of a weird thing. I guess when they're trying to figure out how to get those Japanese comics over to us North Americans. Because it's an Eclipse International and Viz Comics co-production. So this came out bi-weekly. I guess it was $1.50 US $225 Canadian. And it has about, I think, 30 pages in here. But they have some, like, back matter, too. It's weird because the first issue has something where it's like, telling you about high school life in Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I probably dated now that this is, like, a thing from the 80s. But, I mean, still strange. Like, I'm just like, what?
Did you learn anything?
I learned a lot. Like, everything is very different, it seems like. Like, it's like you go to school, and then you go to more school, and you don't talk to your parents. You just do whatever you want. And you would think you would go to the school that's closest to you, and it's like, no, you go to this school, like, far away, and you're always writing tests, and then you're doing tests to get into a school, and you've been preparing for years. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, very, very different than my experience, so... It was interesting, though. Like, even if it's, like, something from another era, it's sort of like a bit of a documentary type of focus. Like, I know the second issue talks about robots and the origin of the word robots. And it also has a little bit by the author of Manga, The World of Japanese Comics. So, like, stuff that ended up in, like, actual books. So I'm like, that's cool.
So what's the story, apart from all this back mattery stuff?
Well, I think this was the fourth series they brought over here. Because they're like, oh, you like the Terminator? You like action-adventure, right? So we're going to bring in this guy that has amnesia and has a giant cyborg arm. And there was like this crazy plane crash. And then this guy's just, like, sort of wandering around. And then, like, apparently he went to a certain high school. And he's gone missing. And then, of course, some girls from that high school, like, notice him. And I'm like, is that the guy? And then you have, like, other, like, shadowy organizations. Like, the one that, like, did the stuff to him. Gave him the crazy cyborg arm. And they're like, oh, has he gone rogue again? And there's, like, arms dealers and, like, all this... crazy stuff going on. So very intriguing. Pretty good to look at. So I mean, if I saw more issues of this, like I only have the first two, I would probably definitely scoop them up for the right price. I mean, they're pretty quick reads, so I mean, it's different me paying like a dollar or two for these now than what it would have been like in the 80s. Like in the 80s, and maybe someone would think, hey, that's not enough content or something. You know how manga is paced totally different than, like, it's sort of made for that, like, 70-page or magazine or whatever. And then you split it up into issues because we're used to issues, but I feel like that pacing doesn't always work out that well.
No, it can be a quick, some of them, particularly some of the, you know, like if they're just doing some fight scene or something, it can really go pretty quick.
Yeah, you'd have 600 issues of one fight scene. So yeah, this is pretty neat. I mean, who doesn't like someone with a cyborg arm?
Well, there's plenty of Misty Knight from Marvel. That's a good one.
Not Cable. Not Garrison Kane. He's Weapon X. Not that Weapon X.
Yeah. Well, how do we feel, gentlemen? Is there anything else you guys want to get off your chests? Or should we make this a nice introduction back into it?
I think this has been a good intro. You don't have anything controversial to say, Andrew?
No, I'm just glad people stuck with it. Hopefully we won't have any technical problems from the AI or machine learning or any of that stuff, but just always appreciative of people spending time with us.
Well, it'll just start putting nonsense, like judging from how good the stuff is right now, it would just have like a lot of You'd be on here and it'd be like robotic you, and it would just be saying stuff like, I like Spider-Man, and I like when Sandman destroyed his childhood, and Thomas Wayne then showed up as his father, and you'd be like, what? Be kind of like that, like they had one of those, must have been a few years ago, where it was a prompt, and it was just like randomness. Like it wasn't really a story.
Yeah, I don't think any of that stuff is quite there yet, but you know, someday.
Someday they'll replace us.
Yeah. Hey, I always say, like, even if it's not now, just look at where it, you know, think back to 10 years ago and compare whatever the efforts were there 20 years ago. And I think you'll find, geez, like, it's a lot different than it, you know, it's better than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't think Terminator prepared me for this future. Once again, I was not prepared.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Kevin, any sign-offs?
Justice for Rabbit?